Good morning, everyone. Today's reading is from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 8 and 14 to 21. When the day of the Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. They heard this sound. A crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Ain't all those who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language?" Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and the bellows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Orange. Shall we pray? Holy Spirit, will you come and lead us today into all truth, in your name. Amen. Hands up if when you say the words the holy in church, you want to say the word ghost next. Now, come on, be honest, put your hands up. Okay, let's just honour the elderly in our church. Do you know why that word was chosen for the English translations? I have no other source than a Facebook video I watched the other week, but it's from somebody I trust. When the printing press came over from Germany, the expert printers were German, and they helped with some of the typesetting, but also some of the way that those words got translated. And in German, the Holy Spirit is the Heiliger Geist. Forgive my German pronunciation. Which means Holy Spirit. Geist is the word they use for ghosts, but it means spirit, not creepy spirit. In English, we do use the word spirit and we use the word ghost. We tend to use them separately. We tend to use them a bit differently. A ghost is which is one of the reasons I'm really glad that my generation got the benefits of, who can remember the little turquoise Holy Communion series 3? Sort of a greeny, pale greeny little book. No? Okay, it was just some Marys that used that one then. Oh, no, you remember? Yeah, you remember that one, Margaret? Yeah. That had modern English in it, which absolutely amazed all the people in church when I grew up with it. So I call the Holy Spirit the Holy Spirit. It's a better English translation than Holy Ghost. But that's why that crops up. But who is it? Who is the Holy Spirit? Now, if I'd had more time, the wedding hadn't been yesterday, at this point there would have been a clip of Hong Kong Phooey on the screen. Hands up if you know who I'm talking about. Yeah, okay. Sanatogen all round. Hong Kong Fui, secret, sort of secret hidden identity. Who is our superhero? Sarge? Rosemary, the telephone operator? Well, what's his name, the janitor? Say again? No, Penfold, that's Danger Mouse. It's about 10 years too late. Could be. So it's, who is the Holy Spirit? At this point, I'm actually going to pinch the church's theme for next week and drag it this way. Because we're going back to the fruit of the Spirit next week. We're not going to do Trinity Sunday. And I often think that we get these Sundays the wrong way round. I don't think you can truly understand Pentecost until you understand the Trinity. And therein lies the rub. Because I went to vicar school and I did a 20-week lecture series on the Trinity and ended up knowing less about the Trinity at the end than I did when I started. Because I was told that all the ways that I'd grown up thinking about God being three and one and one and three were heresy. So, turn your heresy meters off and let's go for a bit of a meander. Right the way from the start of the Bible, our faith does something radically different. There are three monotheistic faiths in the world. Monotheistic, one, monotheistic of God. There is one God. Those three faiths are Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. There are a few other little ones that pop up every now and again, but generally, those are the only three. And they all have their origin in the Jewish faith. Christianity obviously comes from Judaism, and Islam is another offshoot of the Judeo-Christian faith. All of the other religions in the world have many gods, or no god. It is only the people who follow in the footsteps of Abraham who say there is one God. There's only one. No other one. Uno, singular. Unos. Don't know what other words I can think of for one. There's one. Indeed, when you get to God's top 10 list of rules, the first rule is, remember, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And it's like a huge fracture with all of the other ways that people have ever talked about gods, small g. The Greek gods, there were lots of them, and they fought each other and did all sorts of unspeakable things. The Roman gods fought each other and did all sorts of unspeakable things. The Norse gods fought each other and did all sorts of unspeakable things. For Abraham to follow one God and say, this is God, there aren't any others, this is God, is absolutely contrary to the way that religion has risen up across the world. It cuts across it. If anybody talks to you and says all religions are just a way of trying to find God, I would argue, no, that's not true. Because the faith that starts with Abraham says there is one God, uno, singular, not many. Go and put that box down over there. One. Then we get to the idea of the Trinity, where you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now we know Jesus. I can get my head around Jesus. People saw him. People touched him, and he laid hands on them and healed them. He was nailed to a cross and he died. Good eyewitnesses said, I shook his hand. He healed my daughter. He changed my life. And we stand in that line of eyewitnesses. We can get our heads around Jesus. Jesus spoke of his Father. And one of the big mistakes that a lot of people make is to say, well, that Father is God and Jesus is like not quite God because he submits to the Father. But all the way through the New Testament, there's this golden thread that says that Jesus is God. My favorite bit of John's Gospel, the words that I get to speak at the carol service every year, in the beginning was the Word, Jesus. And the Word, Jesus, was with God. And the Word, Jesus, was God. How do I know the Word is Jesus? Because in verse 14 it says, and the Word, Jesus, became a human being. The church spent 400 years trying to work out how you could possibly have a human being who was also at the same time God. And it came out with a wonderful series of statements that tell you just about what it isn't. The only thing they can say about it being is a mystery. Somehow, all that is, the immortal, infinite, eternal creator of the universe is brought together with all that it means to be a human being and becomes the person of Jesus Christ forever. Jesus doesn't just put on a hat and go, hey, I'm human. And then whip the hat off again and scurry back to heaven. He don't put on a mask. He's not a puppeteer, puppeting a human being. Somehow this man is both man and God. And if you want me to explain it, you need a better vicar than me, because I can't. It is mind-blowing. It's unlike anything else. If anybody tells you that all religions are the same, there is no religion on the planet that will tell you that God became a human being and died in our place so that we wouldn't suffer, so that we weren't punished. The Christian faith is absolutely unique in the way it talks about who God is and what God does. And that's where most people stop, because we spend 8 weeks celebrating Christmas. We spend 8 weeks celebrating Easter, and we spend 1 week celebrating Pentecost. And then we put the Holy Spirit back in his box where he belongs. But you'll have noticed something if you've been paying attention. At the end of services, when I stand at the front, and you're all like, is it time for coffee yet? Is he finished yet? Is he going to say something else yet? Is he going to tell another story yet? At that point, I say, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you. When I'm at this end of the church, doing baptisms and having fun splashing about in water with my little liturgical rubber duck, and I say to somebody, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. What's going on? Well, what's going on is something that's referred to in the church as the Trinity. Do you know how many times that word is mentioned in the Bible? 10 points to Gryffindor. None. The word Trinity, describing God, is not used in the Bible at all. But it's there wherever you look. These three together keep popping up. It's almost like it's this unbelievably open secret. So when Jesus is baptized, no, before then, when Jesus is conceived, Gabriel, our dear friend Gabriel on the left at the back there, turns up at Mary's house and says, God, the Father, has a job for you. The Holy Spirit will move in you and you will give birth to a son and you will call him Jesus. Father, Son, and Spirit together. At Jesus' baptism, he goes down into the River of Jordan to be baptized by John. The Holy Spirit descends like a dove on him, and the voice of the Father says, this is my Son, the Beloved, in whom I am well pleased. Again and again and again, we see these three popping up. And in other places as well, it was only, I think it may have been a couple of years ago, one of my favorite chapters in Luke's Gospel is Luke 15. If you ever just want to read one chapter of the Bible that tells you the story of God's rescue plan, clearly and simply, read Luke chapter 15. I guarantee you all can tell me at least two of the stories, two of the parables that Jesus tells in Luke 15. There's the story of the lost sheep. There's the story of the lost coin. And there's the story of the lost sons. Don't ever let anybody use that word in the singular, because the older brother was as lost as the younger brother in that story. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, go home and before you have your lunch, read Luke chapter 15. It's a great read. And I can't remember quite what the conversation was. I think it was a conversation either with Liz or with Sal. Jackie was around. And suddenly, I'm like, the story of the good sheep has a shepherd going after the sheep. The good shepherd, yeah? Who's the good shepherd? Jesus. The story of the lost sons has a father running to forgive the son who's gone away. It's the father. The third story there has a woman searching for a lost coin. Three again. We've been following a reading plan. I've been following it sometimes. For the Bible in a year this year. And Jackie said to me, you've got to read Proverbs. You've got to read Proverbs. And the first section of Proverbs was just an amazing word from God for us in a situation that we're in at present. But it talks again and again and again about the spirit of wisdom acting as if it is God. It is God's spirit acting. We talk about Jesus saying, I will send you a helper. The Holy Spirit is a person. Sort of up there with the Father and the Son, we have the Holy Spirit. And now we have a problem. So I'll put this box over here. And that box says three. And that box says one. And that box says one. And that box says three. Somehow, these three ways in which we encounter God are one God. And one God is in three ways. And there are lots of analogies. You could take three candle flames, and if I was able to bring them all together, have I got? Oh, yes, I have. There we are. How many flames have I got? 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 That's a really good analogy for the Trinity. It's also heresy, because it's not like that. You can get an egg. Which bit of an egg is the most eggy bit of an egg? Is it the yolk? Because if you don't have a white, you don't have meringue. Is it the white then? But if you don't have a yolk, you haven't got custard. Or is it the shell? Well, if you haven't got a shell, you haven't got an egg. You've got a mess. Which bit's the egg? That's all of its egg, but each bit is different. That's also heresy. Or is it a three-leaf clover? Or a four-leaf clover, I think someone found after the wedding yesterday. Yay. Is it a three-leaf clover? That's also heresy. Do you know why all those things are not good descriptions of who God is? Because they're descriptions that I can fit into my limited cranium. They're things that I can understand. And what we are talking about is the being who has existed before all time and space, and who brought the universe into being through the word of his mouth and the power of his spirit and the voice of the Son. And he sustains this universe in all its beauty and majesty, who knows every star that has ever been made and every hair on your head. He loves her more than he loves you, I'm afraid. Sorry. If I could understand that being, that would make me greater than him. If I could. So I can't, because I'm not. And he is greater. Somehow, and this is what the church got to, somehow there is one God. We have God. Somehow the Father is God. The Son, Jesus, is God. He's not lesser to God. He chooses to step down and say, I will be obedient, but he is still God. The Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. He comes from God. But he is God. Or if you use the pronoun that seems to be used quite a lot in the Old Testament about the Spirit of wisdom, she is God. Because God's not a bloke or a woman. God is God, and male and female, we are made in God's image. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is God. Just as much as Jesus is, just as much as the Father is. And what's the day of Pentecost? It's the coming true of what Jesus promised at the ascension. He said to his disciples, I will be with you always. And the day of Pentecost is the Holy Spirit, who isn't limited in time and space, but who can be present in the hearts of each and every one who puts their faith and trust in God. And that, my friends, is how God blew the doors off that upper room. And from there, billions of people have learnt the good news that God loves them, and have learnt that God can live in them. Do the children want to come and join me at the front? So we're going to play a game. Come and join me at the front. Matty, George, come and join me. Now, what I want you to do, I want you to lie down on the floor. As if you're having a rest. Now, not lie on your brother. Just lie down as if you're having a rest. And I know some of the little ones aren't going to join in, so it won't be quiet. But I just want us all to just sit for a moment and pray a simple prayer. And that prayer is, come Holy Spirit. Whether you've been filled with the Holy Spirit your whole life as a Christian, or whether you don't think that's ever happened for you to know that, I want you to pray, come Holy Spirit. You might want to hold your hands out in front of you. It's not magic. What it is a sign of wanting God to come. If you're lying peacefully, just let the Holy Spirit come and fill you. Loving God, we want everything that you have to give us. Thank you that you are a Father who loves us. Thank you, Jesus, that you came and you died in my place to set me free. Holy Spirit, thank you that you are always with us, always near us, giving us gifts, growing in us the fruit that comes from being close to God. Will you come, Holy Spirit, and fill our hearts? Amen.